From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. Acclaimed author Leah Conan is back with a new domestic thriller. It's called You Should Have Told Me. And we're lucky enough to have Leah joining us today to talk more about this latest endeavor. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Leah, I know that this is, I believe your second thriller. What do you like about
my third thriller?
So you're third. What do you like about this genre?
I think for me, it was just such a natural fit because I kind of grew up watching Hitchcock movies and old noirs. And I love mysteries and thrillers myself. So I think what's so fun about the genre is you get to explore these really dark themes and all of that. But it always feels like a puzzle that you're kind of working out. Mm. And there's this kind of joy in experiencing that sort of suspense and not knowing what's going to happen next, that I think people really like, and people like to kind of jump into a new book and get to have that feeling again.
Well, I think it really takes you out of your own daily life when you're reading a thriller.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's kind of, I think there's a reason why, you know, people read them as kind of like an escape thing, especially maybe when the world is in a little bit of more difficult places. It's nice to be able to kind of jump into one of these mysteries and kind of feel like you're losing yourself in it.
So give us a quick premise for the book. It is, I think, one that so many people can relate to because it kind of revolves around new motherhood.
Yeah, so you have Janie, who is a new mother to a 6-week-old infant, and she really is struggling. She's struggling, mm-hmm. You know, with feeding her, with staying up all night, with just also the feelings that she thinks that she's supposed to have, and maybe she's not having. She doesn't feel as connected with her baby, maybe as she thinks she should be, and maybe is not feeling the love and affection that she thought she would. So she's kind of caught in this, and then she finally talks about it with her partner, Max, and he's very understanding, and he suggests that she go sleep in the guest bedroom that night so she can catch up on sleep, hopefully feel better in the morning. He's going to get all of the feedings that night. But unfortunately, she wakes up around like 3 a.m. and her daughter is screaming and her partner is completely gone. And as the night kind of merges into day, he does not come back. And then it turns out that also, a woman has been murdered in town, and Max was actually seen at the bar where she was murdered that night. Mm. So she's kind of this new mother in this wild situation who gets thrown into an even wilder kind of mm-hmm. plot.
Well, and at the same time, I mean, what's as the book is going on and she's uncovering things, I mean, she still has this tiny little baby. And you know, it really resonated with me, in particular, her feelings around how she thought she should feel about being a mom and maybe how she's not feeling. I mean, that took me back to my first child and, you know, him being born. And I was like, well, okay, who are you?
exactly.
Right? Like, oh, okay. So I don't know you. And I think we don't talk enough about this as moms, right? Because there is this idea that this baby is going to be born and we're going to be so in love and so connected with them. And we definitely have those maternal instincts. But I mean, did you take from your own personal experience in that feeling of like, I mean, I honestly remember being like, I don't know who this is. Like, oh, okie dokie.
Yeah,
here
no,
we go.
I mean, I pulled heavily from my own experience. I think this book wouldn't have happened without my experience. I think I had feelings a lot like Janie's. And, you know, for me, I also had a very traumatic kind of emergency birth. And so there was a lot of stress from that. Mm-hmm. And then I remember being just like, feels like I was just like tossed the baby and be like, okay, go feed her now. And I'm like, wait, yeah. What? And I remember right. My dad said something and it was completely like innocuous. He meant well, but he, you know, called me and he said, he's like, now you understand what this love is, you know, that, you know, I've felt this since you were born. And I just remember thinking like, uh-oh, no, I don't, like, you know, but I couldn't say that. But I think, you know, I'm a fairly vocal person. So I started to kind of open up about it, you know, maybe on my personal social media or with some friends. And I started hearing from people and people I didn't even know that well were DMing me and saying, like, I felt exactly this way. I didn't feel like I could share it with anyone, not even my own husband. You know, there's so much shame about not falling instantly in love with your child. And I think, like, realistically, I think I'm sure some people do, but I don't think it's necessarily it's this instant, usually this instant thing that we see portrayed or that we expect. So I just felt like I really wanted to portray that and kind of the nuance of it, because I think you made a great point that you still have the maternal instincts. You still would do anything for this creature, and you are doing everything in your power to keep them safe and healthy and alive and well nourished and loved. But your external actions and what you're actually doing might not align with what's going on in your head. And some of that's hormonal, and some of that could be postpartum depression or anxiety. But I think for everyone, there is this kind of disconnect. And there's different levels of it, but of what's going on inside and what you're actually doing outside.
Oh, right. You know, it's interesting. I have a very vivid memory of bringing my oldest home and a neighbor seeing him for the first time. And she was like, and she said to me, she goes, "I bet you just can't even remember your life before him." And I was like, "Yes, I can. I remember it really well. And in fact,
Like,
I
I remember it was a
really,
lot easier.
right. It was a lot easier and I really miss it. And it's never coming back because I can't hand
I
him
had a
back."
lot of
And
sleep. I was sleeping
yeah.
all the time. Feels like just I was just in a constant state of sleep and well rested.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I, you know, and it's interesting because I'm vocal like you are. And I remember saying to people that it was, you know, talking about how motherhood is hard, how frankly parenting is a thankless job. And I still say that. But and I always say to people, I'm like, but it has nothing to do with my child. Like I love my child. I would not change having had them, but this isn't exactly fun. I mean, and I
Yeah,
just appreciate that about your book and everything.
because I think that is so common, but I think the problem is that the two are conflated. Like admitting that it's hard and difficult and you miss some things about your old life does not in any way mean that you don't love your child. And I think
Exactly.
that's part of what I really wanted to show in this book. And I think part of the book, you know, it is the process of Janie uncovering this mystery and finding out what happened to her partner, but it's also the process of her discovering that she does love her child and she is a great mother and she has all the skills that she needs, you know, and she's doing just fine. And her being able to recognize that about herself, I think the mystery kind of and just this chaotic situation she's thrown into, I think that actually helps her kind of get in touch with her own feelings and understand that it was okay to feel that way. And I think, you know, if nothing else, I think this book already with some of the early readers and people, you know, conversations that have started because of it, I think a lot of women especially have reached out to me and say, I feel really seen, especially with these early chapters, and I felt like I went through something very similar, and it's wonderful to actually see it on a page.
I agree. And I think, you know, for me, I mean, as it's, I mean, it's a great mystery. I'm halfway through the book right now. I mean, it's a great story, but it resonates so much. And I mean, my oldest is 14 years old, but man, reading that took me back to that, you know, that time where you are literally given this little creature and there's no playbook, there's nothing. I mean, it's kind of like, well, what? Because I've got this baby, I'm supposed to know what to do, and I'm supposed to be, you know, having all of these feelings and this love and all of this, and it's so different than that. And I know there are women out there that feel that way, but I think that they are in the minority. But we live in a culture where we are taught that that is the majority, and so to have you put that truth like pen to paper, I think it is, allowing women to be heard and seen in a way that I think we aren't when it comes to motherhood.
Well, I think it's really interesting what you said because I think that is I agree with you that I think it is a minority, but it's portrayed as kind of the only option, this instant love, this kind of beatific feelings towards everything. And I think what I really wanted to show in this book is that, you know, there's been so much written about especially movies and TV where we see postpartum and an experience of a woman falling apart or maybe losing touch with reality or maybe even being a harm to her child, which is definitely something that does happen, but it's much, much more rare. And I think the more common experience is Janie's experience, where she's doing everything right. She's caring for her baby, she is protecting her baby, she's feeding her baby, but she's also dealing with these feelings. And I wanted to really kind of show a little bit more nuance to that than maybe I had seen in a lot of the portrayals that I had seen before of postpartum.
Well, and then you see every time, on social media, right? Someone has a baby, whether they have the baby, adopt the baby, whatever. It's like the first thing they say is, "We're so in love." And I'm always like, "Are you really?" And I mean, it's.
I think that's really interesting, and I think that's something that is explored in the book too. I think Janie is she even talks about it, how she'll get herself dolled up and she'll put on lipstick and take the baby out and like post this perfect picture to Instagram, and like she just has to show people that it's working and it's awesome and all these things, and in a way that her little Instagrams are kind of lifelines to her because she can almost tell herself that things are okay. And then I think what happens as, her partner truly gets caught up in a murder investigation, and he's a kind of a semi-known musician, so it kind of takes off in the media. She realizes she can't do that anymore. She can't portray this outward idea of perfection. And I think her reckoning with that and realizing that that's okay is something that I really want to explore. And I think it just mirrors everything that parents or anyone goes through, in this like social media world where we put something out there and it doesn't always look or rarely looks the same behind the scenes.
100%. I think you've done just such a beautiful job of portraying. I mean, yes, this murder mystery, right? Which is a great part of the book, but also just delving into I think the beauty and the hardship of motherhood, right? And all that goes along with that.
Yeah, I think it really is something that's all consuming. And I think, I actually talked about on Twitter a lot about, because there's, I feel, an accurate portrayal of breastfeeding in this book. And, some readers are like, why is she doing it so frequently? And unless you've been in it, you might not know that just like how all consuming it is in those early days. And I really wanted to show that because that's another thing that I think, you see it on TV and it's like, oh, we feed the baby and then we don't see the baby for the rest of that episode and we just move on with our lives. And I think it's something that like does come as a surprise to people. And even in the medical field, I think there's kind of the advice that like, oh, a baby should feed every 3 to 4 hours and that's just how it should be. And that's not, especially early on, that's not really what most people's experience is. And so it's been awesome to just kind of open up these dialogues with other women and people who've been through this, and to hear like, oh, that wasn't my experience at all. My baby was literally glued to me, around the clock. And I just love the idea of setting a mystery in this kind of situation because it's one of those things that you can't turn it off. Like you can't call in sick to work and say, I'm going to go deal with this. Like she is this baby's literal lifeline, and she has no choice but to, kind of move through it while all this other, wild things are going on.
Yeah, it's chaos upon chaos for sure. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I have to say that I am in New York now, but I grew up in Eastern Washington, so it was
Oh,
very
you did.
close. Yeah, I was very close to Idaho, so I was super excited to see you guys pop up. Not
Oh
near
my gosh.
Boise, but like my parents got married in Coeur d'Alene, so I have my little Pacific Northwest connection. So it's an honor to me to be here.
Oh, that's so great. So we're in Eastern Washington.
Quincy, it's a very small
Oh yeah.
town.
Oh no,
It's
I know
neat.
exactly where that is.
You know it? Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Chehalis, Washington,
Oh
but I
my
went to
gosh.
school at
Wow.
WSU. So you drove through
Yeah.
Quincy
Yeah,
to
my
get
dad
back to
went to
school.
WSU, so
Oh my gosh. See, it's always such a small world, Leah. It amaz like
it
I
is.
love when we make connections like that. So, well, thank you so much. It was really great chatting with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with acclaimed author Leah Conan about her new book, You Should Have Told Me. It is out now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.